From WAMU at American University in Washington, welcome to the Kojo Namdi Show. Call it guilt by association. Since the United Nations Oil for Food program in Iraq, many across the political spectrum have found fault in sanction regimes. To human rights groups, they often unfairly punish the poor. To economists, they often divert trade rather than stifle it. And for political scientists, they can serve to bolster rogue regimes internally rather than weaken them. Yet, for all their flaws and limitations, economic and political sanctions remain a vital part of the international diplomacy toolbox, somewhere between a scalpel and a hammer, between the carrot and the stick. So, how and when do sanctions work? It's an important question, particularly as the UN Security Council contemplates action against Iran.
Hi, Kojo. I'm curious to know, I read an essay about sanctions and how they'll ultimately fail. It was titled "The Bush Administration's Final Surprise." And it basically reviews all of the administration's failures in being able to predict the results of any of its policies in the region. And it provides a realist scenario analysis that either China or Russian national interests and ongoing access to Iranian energy, or in the case of Russia, markets, might drive one or the other to actually base international or intermediate nuclear weapons in Iran. And I'd like to ask your guests, what is keeping Iran from engaging and winning a Middle East version of the Cuban Missile Crisis? Why wouldn't Russia consider basing missiles in Iran by invitation, to deter rivals or prevent Iran from becoming a chaotic cauldron of death and destruction like Iraq, or a nuclear slag heap like some neocons are predicting?